It's Christmas time, and we're happy, and one of the great presents we've received so far is Alabama getting beat. Just had to say that because Brett said he wasn't going to go there. Decided I would. and all you state fans are happy. So there you go. So I really want to take a tact on Christmas this year. That's a challenge for me, and I want to tell you the stories, and I want to try to tell them to you in a way that is different than the way I've told them to you before. So I pray that you'll bear with me. Some of what I'm going to be saying out loud, I've tried to like get it all together in my head and in my study, but I just am almost confident that some of it's going to have to come together while I'm talking. So, and trust me with that. And be like Hank. And if you have questions, make sure you write them down if I've confused you or messed you up. I want to talk to you about the famous wise man story. And you remember that the wise man story was prophesied or was set up back with the Balaam. Balaam, the old prophet, who was, you remember, he was the guy who the donkey talked to, you know. He was a false prophet, but God used him to talk to the king, Balak, Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse the Israelites, and he said, I can't curse them, God won't let me, and I have to do what God said, and God said, don't curse them, and I can't curse them, I got to bless them, and so he would bless them, and that would tick the king off, and the king would say, okay, man, I'm going to sweeten the pot, you know, I'm throwing in a Porsche, and a, you know, whatever, curse them, you know, and he would say, I just can't curse them, you know, and then finally he takes him up on this mountain, and when he's up on the mountain, he says this, which is the famous prophecy that we saw later, Numbers 24:17, it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but he's not near. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and it will batter the brow of Moab and destroy the sons of Tumult. And so here God speaks to this prophet, and he says, and he shows him a star that's going to come out of the nation of Israel, and he shows him that star's a person, and he says that a scepter is going to be in his hand, which means he's going to be a ruler, and he says that he's going to be the kind of person that is going to order chaos, if you will. The tumultuous is going to be straightened out with this guy. And so roll the tape forward a little bit. And after Jesus, and by the way, we believe the group of wise men that came from the east, most scholars believe they were Zoroastrians, which was a group of religious people that studied the stars. They said this awesome thing. When Jesus was born, they showed up in town. And the Bible says it this way, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So they knew he was a king. They knew he was the king of a particular people, the Jews, a scepter and Jacob, right? So they knew this. And they said, we've seen his star in the east. So a particular star that was his star. And not any star, but that as we've observed the heavens and as we've heard the prophets throughout the ages, we've come to believe that there's a particular star that has this guy's name on it. And he's the person who's come out of Judah or out of Israel, and he is the person with the scepter in his hand. He is a king of the Jews, and we've seen his star, and we've come to worship him. So I want to slow down right here and just chat for a minute. So here's something that's not new to us. It is the thought about a star. It's just not new to us. And it's not new to us. As a matter of fact, there was a great movie that just came out this last year, and the name of it was A Star is Born. And it was a three-time remake, and every time it came out, it was just as I remember when the Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand version came out, and I was blown away. That was the best movie that I had seen, like, up until then. And this new one came out, and I was just as blown away and thought it was just as good. And it's an interesting thing, because what the movie is about is a star being born. And there's something about us that likes seeing that. Here, let me tell you another thing. That we, over the last couple of weeks, if you're pro football players, if you're pro football enthusiasts, you've been watching this guy named Lamar Jackson. And any of you know who I'm talking about, or am I losing the crowd? I won't mention it if you don't know who I'm talking about. But, yeah, the Ravens guy. And the thing is that we're watching a star being born. He was good when he was in Louisville, but, like, he's at a whole nother, you know, we're watching a star being born. And we know what, when we say that we're in Hollywood has a walk of stars, right? And so we know, and some people that we say that they aren't stars, but they're super stars, right? So we know what a star is. And it strikes me that the image, let me tell you some other places where we know about stars. So, like, we know about the North Star, don't we? And we don't only know about the North Star just because it's this particular star that's in the heavens, but we actually think about it in psychological terms, don't we? We say, that person's my North Star, right? I mean, we think about it in those terms, and we even talk about our world when we say it's lost its moral compass, it's lost its true north, it doesn't know where the North Star is anymore, right? And so there's a lot of these ideas that we've always thought about. When a kid does good in the classroom, we put a star on his paper, and there's something about us that knows something about stars. And we know because they point us, it's almost as if they say to us, look up, there's an ideal, and you're not the star, but that is the star. You know what I mean? And there's something interesting about the star. The star, like, does something to me. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about this yet, but somewhere along the story, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it since my mouth's open and I'm doing it, but somewhere along the story is that the star makes me better. Like, when I watch Andy play bass, I want to play bass, and I want to play bass like Andy. You know what I mean? It's like when I see the ideal, if you will, it sets for me a place to go. It sets for me a place. And the astonishing thing about the Jesus story is that Jesus, when Jesus showed up, it was prophesied that this kind of person, this idealized person, this person who was the person of persons, if you will, was going to show up on the world. And he would come from a particular people. And that when he would be here, and Brett used the word Messiah, I may unpack that in one of the things, that term has such an overwhelming and a universal use. I mean, we don't just use the person, the Messiah about Jesus. There's this Messiah. Messiahs have been everywhere, right? I mean, this, and so, but what happens is with the star story is that there's something that has been ingrained in us, if you will, to know something about this idealized human. And what happened was that they said that we've seen his star. in the east. But that's not what the prophet said about him. The prophet said that he is the star. And we've come to worship him. That is, they knew that the star was pointing to the place where he was and that he was the star. The revelation calls him. This is Jesus himself. Go to the very last verse, I think. The very last verse. Listen to what Jesus says about himself. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you of these things in the churches. And I am the root and the offspring of David. And I am the bright and the morning star. I'm the star. And here's the interesting thing about the bright and the morning star. Well, the morning star is like the North Star. The morning star is the star that when, when the light comes up, all the rest of the stars are hidden except the morning star. You can still see it. Like the North Star, you can see it when you can't see any other stars. Even though all the other stars are there, you can't see it because the North Star, when the light is on, is the only star you can see. And Peter picks up on this. Listen to how Peter talked about it. Peter said, "For we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Messiah. But we were eyewitnesses of how of this star." And then he says this, "And we heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word that came from back here has been confirmed to us. That is, that somebody said a star was born, but we saw the star. And we saw literally God confirm his own son when he said, "This is my beloved son." And then this is what he says. And he says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you would do well to heed. And he's a light that shines in the dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And what is he trying to say there? There is a day that suddenly you'll see. And that what that means is when the light comes up and all the rest of the stars of the world that you're chasing after fade away, you'll see the star. And he's the Lord Jesus. And that will dawn on you someday because he's the star. And I was, if you do homework on all the how the other religions see Jesus. The other religions see Jesus, they say, well, here's what the Christians say about him. And as far as we can tell, they might be right about this, is that he's like the ideal human being. He was like the human being that all human beings are supposed to be like. He was like that guy. And all they're saying was, he's the star, the bright and morning star. And he was born to us. And what Peter says is that if you can hear the prophetic word, and if God by his Holy Spirit and his grace reveals him to you with the light, the star that'll be left in the heavens is the Lord Jesus, and you'll see him. Because he's the bright and morning star, and Jesus declared of himself that that was true. And I just wanted you to think about, go back to the Matthew passage, and I wanted you to think about what happened when the star came. And here's what the Bible says in Matthew 2:10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and they worshiped him." And so you think about this, and you think about, like, what's going on with that, you know? And there's been much made in theological studies about gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and what their symbolic representation might have been, and this and that and the next thing. But let me just say it this way, that for the threefold thing that it might have meant, which of course threefold is meaningful in and of itself, but let me just say to you what it definitely means. is that when the people saw the star, and when the light came and the rest of the stars went out of sight, and the morning star was in the heavens, and you knew that it was the Christ, you knew that what your life was supposed to do was to sell everything and give it to Him and follow Him. You knew that was what you were supposed to do. And these guys, as soon as they saw the star, packed it up and loaded the camels up and came east, because it was over until they had worshiped the ideal, the Son of the living God, the star that was born in Bethlehem. And there's something about that. We know about stars, and we worship a lot of stars. Brett was mentioning some stars that we've worshiped over the weekend, right? Football stars, you know, Corinth High School stars, you know, and what did we do? We actually do sacrifice for them. You know that, right? You do. I mean, you sacrifice your time to watch them. You normally have some gear on. Did you take it off today? Okay, yeah, so we buy gear, you know what I mean? And we sacrifice our income to go see them, and we set up and we have, what do they do in the Grove? Tailgate parties to them, you know, and we're bringing them our gifts, if you will, right? And we buy, this is picking on my beloved wife, concert tickets to them, and then again, and again, and again, and again. No, I'm just joking. But that's it. And there's something about what we conceive to be. And that's why I believe everybody should love beauty, and they should love excellence, and they should love perfection, and they should love things that taste good. I remember one of the favorite things I used to do was watch Hank order his steak. I mean, it was almost like a ceremony. You know, he would have the people come out and bring him, you know, this big, beautiful steak on a platter. And he'd look at it, and he'd give them a little nod like he approved. And then he'd set apart a chunk about that thick, you know, and he would, they'd take their leave. But here's the thing is, listen, here's my point. I'm not disparaging that God said that He has declared His glory everywhere. And I definitely think that He's declared it in creation when I look at a beautiful bird that nobody but God could have painted. And I think that He declares it when Jackie and I drive together and she goes, "Isn't this the most beautiful place that we've ever lived?" And I think He declares it when we go and see flowers that take our breath away. And I think He declares it when we look at the art in the Louvre and that when we look at some of the architecture that's been made throughout the age. And I think He declares it when we see great athletes and when we hear great singers, and I think He declares it in all of these ways, but He has supremely declared it when He shows up in His glory, all the lights go out except on Jesus. And what I mean is this, friends, I don't mind you sacrificing to buy a nice painting. Jackie has a, you remember Thomas Kincaid, any of y'all, old school? Yeah, somebody. Yeah, he's kind of over. I know that, but back when he was cool, he painted Disneyland's 50th anniversary. And you know, one of his little things is he hides things in the painting. You know, and he hid 50 Disney years in this painting, and it was of Magic Kingdom and the castle and all that. And man, I bought that for my wife. You can bet on it. Right, I sacrificed to, because we, you know, that's a thing for us, and we love that. And listen, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about disparaging beauty. I'm telling you that there's a morning star. He's the star that still rides when all the rest of them have lost their color. And maybe it's what the little course said when it says, turn your eyes upon the morning star, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth, all the rest of the lights go out. And what I'm saying is that it's him that we owe our life to. And it's him that we bring our offerings to. And it's him that we bring our praise to. And it's him that we try to point people to. And we don't, I mean, if I was an athlete, I'd want to be a better one. If I was a scholar, I'd want to be a better one. If I was a painter, I'd want to be a better one. But I'm a Christian. And Christ is my morning star. And he has mapped his own image into my heart. And I want to be like him. I want to follow him. And he's everything that we're looking for. And that's what the story's about. And the story is about us finally allowing enough light, finally, by God's grace, seeing the light to where the only star remaining is the bright and the morning star. And ordering our lives accordingly. That's what the wise men did, right? When they saw the bright and the morning star, they ordered their lives accordingly. And when we see him, we order our lives accordingly. And we give our all to him. And we sing his praises and worship his holy name and tell his story. And are conformed, the Bible says, from glory to glory into his image. Morning star. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you're the great star that the whole world's been looking for. Lord, thank you that you have etched out what the glory of God looks like in person, what the image of God looks like materialized. And we thank you, God, that you've shown it to us. You've shown it in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us day by day what to do about it and how to respond to it. In Christ's name, amen.